happier Resurrection Day. Well, today is the last day of last quarter, and we have been studying James as kind of an interim class. I appreciate Shannon taking last week and covering the time that I would have been here when I was in Chakotah. Y'all know where Chakotah is, don't you? Okay, out there. They're one of our first line of defenses if Arkansas ever attacks. So, glad to be back. We're going to be looking at finishing up somehow the book of James this morning. So, let's get right to it. Welcome to all of you who are here, of course, in the flesh, and all of you who are online watching. Appreciate you being here as well. There's enough to cover. Depending on how we do it, we might get through the most of it. But let's read first chapter 3, 1 through 12. Would anybody like to read that? Chapter 3, 1 through 12. All right, Doc.
Mark, are you good?
No, just that one for now.
Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very word of iniquity. The tongue is set the tongue is set among our members as that much defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh.
Thank you. This is a document that's nearly 2,000 years old, and so I know this is pretty outdated. And we don't have an issue with any of this stuff today. The Bible is just so relevant. It's all relevant to today's life. We live and we struggle and we try to work things out. And we've got a book right here that says, here's this. This is what you need to know. Now, what part of this is helpful? What is James trying to accomplish? And who's he talking to? That's a lot of questions, isn't it? Just pick one. Or make one up on your own. Who's he talking to, first of all? Talking to Christians? He's not talking to people out there in the world. He's talking to people who are in the Lord's church who've come. By the way, where do all Christians have to come from? On the world. There ain't no other place. So if you're going to be in the Lord's church, you've got to come into the church from the world. And guess what happens when you come into the church from the world? A lot of those ideas come with you. In a couple of weeks, they'll be resolved. Right? Yeah? No? All right, maybe not. But
I don't think we usually say we bring a lot of baggage with us.
That's right.
And I even thought up a sermon one time that I was going to try to indicate to people that they bring baggage with them. And you're always going to have to deal with the baggage.
That's right. Always got baggage. And this congregation, you've probably figured out, is a mess. And this is just one more way that they were a mess. And so how does him talking about this, what does he say about this issue, this problem, that seems helpful to you? That's not a trick question. I mean, the Holy Spirit's inspiring James to write these things. Okay, he's bringing it to light. What did Jesus say about that? What's the most famous passage in all the New Testament but John 3:16? Yes. Now what does he say right after that? Go to John 3. I'm getting to where I need a light on this lectern. You remember when it said Isaac's eyes grew dim? You ever read that? I can relate to that now. I am an example, an illustration. John chapter 3, there's verse 16 right there, but look at verse 19, just a couple verses away. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth does what? Comes to the light. That's what James is bringing. Just like Steve pointed out, he is shedding light on an issue, on a problem that might seem like, well, wouldn't that be obvious? If people aren't controlling their tongues any better than that, shouldn't that seem obvious? But it's not always obvious to us, the things that we do that are wrong. Sometimes we get used to the things we do, and we get so used to them that we just don't even think about making any changes, because that's just the way I've always done it. I always tell the truth. No, you're hateful and mean. That's what you are, and somebody needs to tell you that you're just being hateful and mean. I mean, there's one way to tell the truth. That's desirable, to tell truth. But it's how you tell truth sometimes, and it's how much pleasure you take in telling truth that is unpleasant to people that you think you're being better than. Anyway, I'm digressing. But we know how this works. So James is exposing it. What is he exposing that to you seems helpful, or at least insightful, to throw a little light on something? Or what can you relate to?
It's always been an issue.
I'm sorry?
Being able to control your tongue is always an issue.
Being able to control your tongue is always an issue. Do I hear any amens? Yeah. Amen.
This analogy is to a rudder to a ship.
Right.
And it's not just the saying it. Yes, saying things can hurt people, but it steers your whole body. It steers the whole ship. That little rudder steers your body. And so when you say things that you just think, God, I feel this way, I'm going to say them. You know, sometimes that fake it till you make it is really true, because you don't just come in because you're feeling crummy. I can say anything I want. We need to think about it. We don't want to have outbursts of anger. We don't want to say things, and we do, but we need to be aware that it changes what we do too. It does it. It's not just what we said. It steers the whole ship, and now your whole body changes direction when you say things bad.
Right. I just spent several hours with a grandson and a BB gun. We had a lot of fun. But a six-year-old needs to learn things about firearms. And how many times do you think I had to make reminders? Yeah, and okay, this is called the muzzle. What do you do with the muzzle? You point it up or you point it down. You always make sure it's pointed in a safe direction. This is the trigger. When do you put your finger on the trigger? Only when you're about to shoot. What's the safety for? No, don't think of that as a safety. This is the safety, your brain. Think all the time. When you're handling any kind of a weapon, a firearm, a knife, you're in the kitchen handling a knife. You better be thinking about what you're doing. And like Don has said, when this opens up, this is more dangerous than any firearm I've ever handled.
Start 37.
Read it too. What's it say?
You can be sure of this: when the day of judgment comes, everyone will be held accountable for every careless word he has spoken. Your very words will be used as evidence, and your words will declare you either innocent or guilty.
That's one of the scariest passages in all the Bible, to think that our idle words.
Thankful for the blood of Christ.
Yes, absolutely. Because it's going to cover that. And amen. Because we've all got things we've said. And what if on judgment day you are shown some things that you said that you thought were good things, and you find out, no, you shouldn't have done that. Anybody ever do that for you? Say, you said this, and you didn't think it was anything, but it really hurt my feelings. And that's kind of when it cuts the deepest, is when you hurt somebody unintentionally.
What was the apostle that Jesus said, "Behold him whom there is no guile"? Is it Nathan or Jonathan? Or
Nathaniel, I think it was.
Nathaniel.
Yeah?
That up, because guile, I thought, and it says basically, go ahead,
we were just there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? I know what that means. No, I don't know what it means. After I looked it up, I had a misconception. I had an idea of what it meant, but I had to clarify it. It talked about double dealing and
how guile,
it's basically a pure thought. You know, not trying to have an ulterior motive, maybe, or something like that.
Right. We were in John 3. If you go to John 1, you'll see that. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. And he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit, no guile, no falseness." Well, all this is excellent. But what do you do to improve things? What's that?
Say good things.
Say good things. All right.
Because you feel bad when you walk into church and you put on that big smile and say, "Well, I'm kind of being false." Well, no, that helps. You know, smile sometimes. Say good things.
Are you trying to
steer your
ship
till you get there? You know?
Yeah. Be deliberate. Say good things. Intend to say good things. Plan to say good things.
Don't just say something and it be false. Have good intentions behind it.
Okay, that's excellent. What else? Yes, find something. Or, it's not necessary that you give an opinion. Yeah. Oh, do you? I see, yeah, you're forced. Like, does this dress make me look fat? Oh, sweetheart, it ain't a dress. Nothing wrong with that dress. You see, you could say that. That's what a bunch of men need to get. We need to get around, come up with responses for these, and then write them down. So pull that list out. You know, pull that list. Oh, wait, she asked me. I got to figure out how to answer this.
Well, you could say, Marty, you could say, "Well, that dress looks nice, but it'll look nicer if it's one size larger."
Okay, moving right along. Yeah, the rudder has to be adjusted here. Oh, yes.
Remind myself, especially when I'm having a bad day and just really struggling with this, how am I going to talk to this person who I've said something to when they walk in through these doors and I have to greet them in the foyer? Okay. That's, you know, you just never know who you're talking to, because we entertain angels unaware.
This is where humility becomes a huge asset if people see humility in you on a regular basis, this has happened to me, and I'm sure it's probably happened to you. Somebody will say, I didn't mean to offend you by what I said. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what did you say that offended me? And what has protected me from being offended by anything they said is my knowledge of them as a person, that they would never, ever do anything to hurt me or harm. When you get to know people, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he talked about the armor of God, and he said there was a breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness. What does a breastplate do? It protects you, your most vital organs. And your righteousness, when you do what is right, that will protect you as well. That can serve to protect you from people thinking bad things about you, because they'll hear something and they'll go, there's no way. Just remember when it came on the news, Mike Coghill had been accused, and all of us said, no way, no way. And I had parents coming to me saying their kids, and I didn't ask, their children volunteered to them, there's no way that would, no, Mike, this is a false accusation. And then the parents came to me and told me that their parents or their children came to them. This is what righteousness does. When you live righteously, it creates an image of who you are that people know, okay. But what James is talking about is the same thing, it's only in reverse. When you're one of those people that pops off at the mouth, and this, like Becky said, it takes constant training and constant awareness. Maybe one of the things we need to do is just stop talking so much and cut back a little in our speech, and then, like Don was talking about, be more deliberate in what we talk about and make sure we don't allow ourselves to go into things that are on the negative spectrum, unless there's reason for it. Sometimes there's reason for it. But when you're just in casual conversation, there's very little reason to talk negative about anybody. Becky?
You've got two ears, and you've only got one mouth. Use it accordingly. You've got eyes to pay attention to what's going on. You have ears, you need to listen and pay attention. And then you can respond.
All right. And what do you got to do with your tongue? You put it way down deep. And then he put a big, hard row of teeth in front of it and some pretty strong lips. And if you've ever had to do this, I want to say it, and you're holding it in because it's almost like there's something inside your mouth that wants to come out, and you ain't going to happen. Ain't going to let it happen today. That's what we have to teach and train ourselves to do all the time. Larry?
My wife is always telling me, she says, it's not what you say, but how you say it.
Yes, there's a lot to that. And sometimes you don't even have to say anything. You just make a sound. You go, huh. Yeah, you know how that works. What's that?
My family says my face says everything.
Yes, your face says everything. And not yours, but I mean all of our faces say things. People see it in our face. It's like, what'd you make a face like that for? Harold?
I think it's pretty easy to prejudge what somebody says to you when you may not really know why they're saying it. You may not really understand. They may be saying something that they're trying to defend, or it doesn't really bother you. But I think it's really important to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're not trying to say something to hurt me.
Right, exactly. And that's also helpful for your mind as well. If you make a habit of giving people the benefit of the doubt, there's a whole lot less baggage. Who's talked about baggage? That you don't have to carry around, yeah. Because that becomes baggage when you look at everybody. What they mean by that? Or what they mean by that? What that guy mean by that? Well, they didn't mean anything by it. You're overly sensitive.
So innocent in your actions and your thoughts, that someone was trying to say something to you.
Happier Resurrection Day. Well, today is the last day of last quarter, and we have been studying James as kind of an interim class. I appreciate Shannon taking last week and covering the time that I would have been here when I was in Chakotah. Y'all know where Chakotah is, don't you? Okay, out there. They're one of our first line of defenses if Arkansas ever attacks. So, glad to be back. We're going to be looking at finishing up somehow the book of James this morning. So, let's get right to it. Welcome to all of you who are here, of course, in the flesh, and all of you who are online watching. Appreciate you being here as well. There's enough to cover. Depending on how we do it, we might get through the most of it. But let's read first chapter 3, 1 through 12. Would anybody like to read that? Chapter 3, 1 through 12. All right, Doc. No, just that one for now.
Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very word of iniquity. The tongue is set the tongue is set among our members as that much defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh.
Thank you. This is a document that's nearly 2,000 years old, and so I know this is pretty outdated. And we don't have an issue with any of this stuff today. The Bible is just so relevant. It's all relevant to today's life. We live and we struggle and we try to work things out. And we've got a book right here that says, here's this is what you need to know. Now, what part of this is helpful? What is James trying to accomplish? And who's he talking to? That's a lot of questions, isn't it? Just pick one. Or make one up on your own. Who's he talking to, first of all? Talking to Christians? He's not talking to people out there in the world. He's talking to people who are in the Lord's church who've come. By the way, where do all Christians have to come from? On the world. That's there ain't no other place. So if you're going to be in the Lord's church, you've got to come into the church from the world. And guess what happens when you come into the church from the world? A lot of those ideas come with you. In a couple of weeks, they'll be resolved. Right? Yeah? No? All right, maybe not. But?
I would think we usually say we bring a lot of baggage with us.
That's right.
And I even thought up a sermon one time that I was going to try to indicate to people that they bring baggage with them. And you're always going to have to deal with the baggage.
That's right. Always got baggage. And this congregation, you've probably figured out, is a mess. And this is just one more way that they were a mess. And so How does him talking about this, what does he say about this issue, this problem, that seems helpful to you? That's not a trick question. I mean, the Holy Spirit's inspiring James to write these things. Okay, he's bringing it to light. What did Jesus say about that? What's the most famous passage in all the New Testament but John 3:16? Yes. Now, what does he say right after that? Go to John 3. I'm getting to where I need a light on this lectern. Remember when it said Isaac's eyes grew dim? You ever read that? I can relate to that now. I am an example. An illustration. John chapter 3, there's verse 16 right there, but look at verse 19, just a couple verses away. This is the judgment that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth does what? Comes to the light. That's what James is bringing. Just like Steve pointed out, he is shedding light on an issue, on a problem that might seem like, well, wouldn't that be obvious? If people aren't controlling their tongues any better than that, shouldn't that seem obvious? But it's not always obvious to us, the things that we do that are wrong. Sometimes we get used to the things we do, and we get so used to them that we just don't even think about making any changes because that's just the way I've always done it. I always tell the truth. No, you're hateful and mean. That's what you are, and somebody needs to tell you that you're just being hateful and mean. I mean, there's one way to tell the truth. That's desirable to tell truth. But it's how you tell truth sometimes, and it's how much pleasure you take in telling truth that is unpleasant to people that you think you're being better than. Anyway, I'm digressing. But we know how this works. So, James is exposing it. What is he exposing that to you seems helpful or at least insightful to throw a little light on something? Or what can you relate to?
Always been an issue.
I'm sorry?
Being able to control your tongue is always an issue.
Being able to control your tongue is always an issue. Do I hear any amens? Yeah. Amen.
His analogy is to a rudder to a ship.
Right.
And it's not just the saying. Well, yes, saying things can hurt people, but it steers your whole body. It steers the whole ship. That little rudder steers your body. And so when you say things that you just think, oh, I feel this way, I'm going to say them. You know, sometimes that fake it till you make it is really true, because you don't just come in because you're feeling crummy. I can say anything I want. We need to think about it. We don't want to have outbursts of anger. We don't want to say things, and we do, but we need to be aware that it changes what we do too. It does it. It's not just what we said. It steers the whole ship, and now your whole body changes direction when you say things bad.
Right. I just spent several hours with a grandson and a BB gun. We had a lot of fun. But a six-year-old needs to learn things about firearms. And you, how many times do you think I had to make reminders? Yeah. And, okay, this is called the muzzle. What do you do with the muzzle? You point it up or you point it down. You always make sure it's pointed in a safe direction. This is the trigger. When do you put your finger on the trigger? Only when you're about to shoot. What's the safety for? No, don't think of that as a safety. This is the safety, your brain. Think all the time. When you're handling any kind of a weapon, a firearm, a knife, you're in the kitchen handling a knife, you better be thinking about what you're doing. And like Don has said, when this opens up, this is more dangerous than any firearm I've ever handled.
Matthew 12:36.
start 37.
Read it to it. What's it say?
You can be sure of this: when the day of judgment comes, everyone will be held accountable for every careless word he has spoken. Your very words will be used as evidence, and your words will declare you either innocent or guilty.
That's one of the scariest passages in all the Bible, to think that our idle words.
For the blood of Christ.
Yes, absolutely. Because it's going to cover that. And amen. Because we've all got things we've said. And what if on judgment day you are shown some things that you said that you thought were good things, and you find out, no, you shouldn't have done that. Anybody ever do that for you? Say, you said this and you didn't think it was anything, but it really hurt my feelings. And that's kind of when it cuts the deepest, is when you hurt somebody unintentionally. It's
what was the apostle that Jesus said, "Behold him whom there is no guile." Is it Nathan or Jonathan? Or
Nathaniel, I think it was.
Nathaniel.
Yeah?
That up because guile, I thought. And it says basically, go ahead.
Sorry. We were just there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? I know what that means. No, I don't know what it means. After I looked it up, I had a misconception. I had an idea of what it meant, but I had to clarify it. Talked about double dealing and
how guile. Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically a pure thought. You know, not trying to have an ulterior motive, maybe, or something like that.
Right. We were in John 3. If you go to John 1, you'll see that. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit, no guile, no falseness." Well, all this is excellent, but what do you do to improve things? What's that?
Say good things.
Say good things. All right.
Because you feel bad when you walk into church and you put on that big smile, saying, "Well, I'm kind of being false." Well, no, that helps. You know, smile sometimes. Say good things.
Are you trying to
steer
your
ship till you make, you know, till you get there? You know?
Yeah. Be deliberate. Say good things. Intend to say good things. Plan to say good things.
Just say something and it be false. Have good intentions behind it.
Okay, that's excellent. What else?
If you don't like the dress, say something positive. Like the shape is good on you, or the color is good.
Yes, find something. Or, it's not necessary that you give an opinion. Yeah. Oh, do you? I see, yeah, you're forced. Like, does this dress make me look fat? Oh, sweetheart, it ain't a dress. Nothing wrong with that dress. You see, you could say that. That's what a bunch of men need to get. We need to get around, come up with responses for these, and then write them down. So pull that list out. You know, pull that list. Oh, wait, she asked me. I got to figure out how to answer this.
Well, you could say, Marty, you could say, "Well, that dress looks nice, but it'll look nicer if one size larger."
Okay, moving right along. Yeah, the rudder has to be adjusted here. Oh, yes.
Remind myself, especially when I'm having a bad day and just really struggling with this, how am I going to talk to this person who I've said something to when they walk in through these doors and I have to greet them in the foyer? Okay. That's, you know, you just never know who you're talking to, because we entertain angels unaware.
This is where humility becomes a huge asset if people see humility in you on a regular basis, this has happened to me, and I'm sure it's probably happened to you. Somebody will say, I didn't mean to offend you by what I said. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what did you say that offended me? And what has protected me from being offended by anything they said is my knowledge of them as a person, that they would never, ever do anything to hurt me or harm. When you get to know people, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he talked about the armor of God, and he said there was a breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness. What does a breastplate do? It protects your most vital organs. And your righteousness, when you do what is right, that will protect you as well. That can serve to protect you from people thinking bad things about you, because they'll hear something and they'll go, there's no way. Just remember when it came on the news, Mike Coghill had been accused, and all of us said, no way, no way. And I had parents coming to me saying their kid, and I didn't ask, their children volunteered to them, there's no way that would, no, Mike, this is a false accusation. And then the parents came to me and told me that their parent or their children came to them. This is what righteousness does. When you live righteously, it creates an image of who you are that people know, okay. But what James is talking about is the same thing, it's only in reverse. When you're one of those people that pops off at the mouth, and this, like Becky said, it takes constant training and constant awareness. Maybe one of the things we need to do is just stop talking so much and cut back a little in our speech, and then, like Don was talking about, be more deliberate in what we talk about and make sure we don't allow ourselves to go into things that are on the negative spectrum, unless there's reason for it. Sometimes there's reason for it. But when you're just in casual conversation, there's very little reason to talk negative about anybody. Becky?
You've got two ears, and you've only got one mouth. Use it accordingly. You've got eyes to pay attention to what's going on. You have ears, you need to listen and pay attention. And then you can respond.
All right. Now, what did God do with your tongue? He put it way down deep. And then he put a big hard row of teeth in front of it and some pretty strong lips. And if you've ever had to do this, I want to say it, and you're holding it in because it's almost like there's something inside your mouth that wants to come out, and ain't going to happen. Ain't going to let it happen today. That's what we have to teach and train ourselves to do all the time. Larry?
My wife is always telling me, she says, it's not what you say, but how you say it.
Yes, there's a lot to that. And sometimes you don't even have to say anything. You just make a sound. You go, huh. Yeah, you know how that works. What's that? Yes, your face says everything. And not yours, but I mean all of our faces say things. People see it in our face. It's like, what you make a face like that for? Harold?
I think it's pretty easy to prejudge what somebody says to you when you may not really know why they're saying it. You may not really understand. They may be saying something that they're trying to defend, or it doesn't really bother you. But I think it's really important to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're not trying to say something to hurt me.
Right, exactly. And that's also helpful for your mind as well. If you make a habit of giving people the benefit of the doubt, there's a whole lot less baggage. Who's talked about baggage? That you don't have to carry around, yeah. Because that becomes baggage when you look at everybody, what they mean by that? Or what they mean by that? What that guy mean by that? Well, they didn't mean anything by it. You're overly sensitive.
So innocent in your actions and your thoughts, that someone was trying to say something to you and it didn't faze you, and they finally had to explain to you that they were trying to get under your skin. Have you ever had that? I used to have, and this is a different thought, but along with what you were saying earlier, whenever I was teaching, and I'd catch a kid talking, which is very commonplace. I love to walk up behind them and say, "What did I just say? Huh?" And it's a little like what she was saying, that, you know, you listen and you might learn something. If you're talking, you're not learning anything. But then again, if you're listening to what someone else is saying, you might be learning. So you kind of, it's kind of like a two-edged sword. You know?
And that reminds me of something I've learned, but I have to keep reminding myself about. I say I've learned it. Not everything I think of needs to be said. And things that I think are important or profound, you come to realize after a while, nobody cares. Nobody cares. So why use up the energy to say things that might not come out the right way anyway? Now, if you're sharing is good when you've got something positive and upright that you want to help somebody. That's excellent. But we just have to be careful all the time. Yes.
Was that Thumper?
Yeah, no, nothing knife to say. I don't know how Thumper said it, but that. See, Disney teaches you some things that are good. They're wrong about shooting deer, but used to. Back in the day.
What's that? I would say, though, whenever you mentioned about no one really cares, in all reality, when you find someone that is so well studied in the Word, and when they open their mouth, if you've been around them, you just naturally listen. And I would hate for someone like that to think that no one really cares about what I say when you're so well studied and you're so trying to teach the Word and go into all the world, that someone would get that kind of a message that no one really cares. And I could see that happening.
Well, now, when you're talking about that kind of conversation, I think it's a different thing. I'm talking about when we're just swapping stories. We're just swapping stories. And I feel like, I got to tell my story. Well, why? Who really wants to hear it? I want to tell it. Well, yeah, but you're the only one here. and it's one of those things where... I got to show you a picture. Oh, it's in here somewhere. Yeah, I know I got it. I just saw it. And I don't want to do that to people. But we do it sometimes with our words. It's triviality. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with being trivial, but it's when we're being trivial that we often get tripped up. We just need to pay attention. It's like with the BB gun. If you're not paying attention, that's when you put an eye out, kid. That's what that whole movie, Christmas Story, that whole story was, you put an eye out, kid. Well, and of course, a six-year-old, he wants to do things with a BB gun that shouldn't be done with a BB gun. And there's all kinds of things to shoot at. Why do you have to get right up against a tree and shoot it like that when it's, you'll put your eye out, kid. Anyway, that's a six-year-old.